This is Judith Leigh welcoming you to Manx Radio and to the podcast of this week's edition of At Your Service. Manx Radio. This morning, we're going travelling. We're off to West Africa, but no passports or packing is needed, as all the work is being done for us by Angela Southern and Louise Whiteleg, who'll be joining us after this joyous musical start to the programme. From this year's Manx Music Festival, it's part of a winning performance by the Lonvain Ladies Choir, conducted by Christine Bragazzi and accompanied by Marilyn Kizek. Great psalm of praise from Lonvain Ladies Choir, conducted by Christine Bragazzi and accompanied by Marilyn Kizek. Earlier this year, Angela Southern, a member of Balligarry Methodist Church, was chosen to represent not just the Isle of Man, but the whole of the British Isles at the All Africa Conference of Churches, which was due to meet this month in Freetown, the capital city of Sierra Leone in West Africa. Angela's travelling companion was to be our Christian Aid representative, Louise Whiteleg, who made the trip at her own expense, keen to expand her knowledge of the country and its wider needs. Angela and Louise have been in Freetown for the last 10 days or so, and Louise has been sending regular reports from the places she's visited and the people she has met. Here's her first report, setting the scene by reflecting on Freetown's historical role in the transatlantic slave trade.
Good morning, Judith. Angela and I have safely arrived in Freetown, Sierra Leone, and today we went to church. But in order to get to church, we had to drive past the famous cotton tree. The cotton tree has long been a symbol of peace and freedom in Sierra Leone and Freetown. It's thought to be over 400 years old, and one of the reasons why it's so special is that it's rumoured to be the place where the first freed slaves came and worshipped. It's a symbol of freedom and peace. It's also associated with lots of folklore, and it's thought that catastrophe would befall the country if ever the tree fell. And indeed, the tree is not as mighty as it once was. Originally, it was 70 metres tall and 15 metres wide. It's difficult to imagine. And sadly, in 2023, a bad storm left the tree, all but a stump. But as we drove past, we saw that the tree had got green branches. Its roots are strong, and it still stands sturdy. We visited Zion Wilberforce Street Methodist Church. It's one of the oldest churches in Sierra Leone, and it was an absolute privilege to be at. The church itself was started when 1,200 freed American slaves arrived. The freed American slaves had been given land in Nova Scotia, Canada, but they faced horrible racial discrimination when they got there, and very harsh winters. So, with the permission and support of a local Methodist pastor called John Marriott, and also the British Empire, they crossed the Atlantic and they arrived at Freetown in Sierra Leone and became the founders of Freetown. Carlos Perkins was the pastor that was leading them in 1792, and he led them from Canada to Sierra Leone, where they set up the Zion Wilberforce Street Methodist Church. The congregation were resplendent in white and red to celebrate Pentecost. And the singing was, as you might imagine for the Methodist Church, fantastic and heartfelt. I found the service incredibly moving. They sang one of my favourite songs, which is Amazing Grace. And I am not ashamed to say it made me cry. It was so moving. To hear the words of Amazing Grace, that hymn sung in one of the original churches in Freetown, was so powerful and so moving.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see.
We're in the Wesley Methodist Church in Freetown, Sierra Leone. As you can probably hear, it's right in the centre of town. And this is where the conference is happening. And I have found a lovely friend while I've been lost wandering around the facilities, a lovely lady called June, who has got long-term connections with the Wesley Chapel. You were telling me about your family connections.
Yes, well, I'm a fourth generation member of the Cummings family. My great-grandfather, Henry Benjamin Cummings, was one of the founder members of the Wesley Methodist Church. And the church started in a schoolroom, Bathurst Street, which is a few streets up the road. And so a group of young entrepreneurs, mainly traders and merchants, who decided to form the Wesley Methodist Church. And they used to meet at the Bathurst Street. And then they put money together and paid for a plot of land on what used to be Trelawney Street, which is now Lamina Sanko Street. That was the start of the Wesley Methodist Church. And Wesley Methodist Church is considered as the cathedral of the Methodist Church and has quite a big congregation. A lot of our members, unfortunately, over the years have gone away, but we're in the process now, I think, of change and reviving the church.
How many members do you have?
Active members, about 500, I would think, no more than that.
Because there's not a lot of houses around here.
No, that's one of the problems.
Yes.
Because when people lived in Freetown, they would just walk to church.
Yes.
And now a lot of people moved out. So what they tend to do is have local churches that
yes.
they go to. So they come to Wesley on special...
Big events.
And, yeah.
And as Louise was learning about the conference venue, Angela Southern was getting to grips with her role as a conference delegate.
It's 8:30 here in the morning and we're the only ones in the place, although it's supposed to start at 9. Their timekeeping is a bit trade-a-lure. The theme for this year's conference is the Church in a Troubled World, and each day they read from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 10 to 17. They start the sessions off with half an hour of devotion. You know, the church is a family. Family is unity. Unity is strength. And Christ is the head. And as delegates, we are here representing the minority. As Paul says, agree with one another. No division amongst us. Properly united in mind and in trust. However, the laity do not feel that the church here is together. And they are looking at this conference to give proposals that will bring them together. There are too many weak links, and a chain is as only as strong as its weakest link. Too many times proposals get passed and no action is then taken.
One of the things that interested me was a lot of the conversations, I think, are the same across the world, and the questions that always come up, not having enough ministers,
yeah.
not having enough people to take leadership roles,
yeah.
and they're similar conversations that I think we have everywhere.
And there'll be much more from Angela when she returns to the island. But now it's time to find out more about the All Africa Conference of Churches, an ecumenical body that accounts for over 200 million Christians across the African continent. And amazingly, Louise was able to record this conversation with the General Secretary, the organiser, Reverend Dr. Fidan Mwombeki.
The All Africa Conference of Churches is an ecumenical organisation for the African continent, started in 1963, which is predominantly for Protestant churches. Anglican, Methodists, Presbyterians, Lutherans, but also we have some Orthodox churches
yeah.
as members, and we have some Africa-initiated churches, and we have 214 member churches. That's why I was talking about I'm bringing greetings from 213, because the 14th is this one.
Sierra Leone, yes.
Yes, and most of them are churches. But some are National Christian Council, like the Council of Churches in Sierra Leone. I can tell you the vision, which has been there from the beginning, to bring churches together for life, peace, justice, and dignity. Dignity was added later because of looking at what is going on around the people of African descent all over the world, and African continent itself, that it suffers from being not dignified enough. So we really want to bring churches together to do things together. For example, we don't do church planting and evangelism, and we don't talk about doctrine, but there are so many things which we should do together at the ecumenical community. So it started mainly with working for political independence of different countries. For example, when it was apartheid, the AS was very, very much championing the freedom of Africans. And to end apartheid, there was a time of helping the freedom fighters in Zimbabwe, Namibia, and other places. Those are political side, but also there are so many thematic and theological things which we really need to gather around and see what is our common stand. And so this is what we have been doing ever since.
Listening to Dr. Fidan speak was just mind-blowingly inspirational. He touched on five big topics.
I mentioned the five things which I thought I need to invite them because I was leading them to what we do where they can really immediately join.
He touched on political troubles and how in Africa there's the danger of sliding back into conflict and firing guns. But as a church, all must work for peace, accepting the elections in the ballot box, accepting the outcomes.
One of them I said, because we are talking about the church in the troubled world, and I used that to say that, what are the troubles? First one was political. And there my target was to say, please, Sierra Leone, we know some skirmishes are there. I didn't say that directly, but please keep your peace. Because if you lose it, it will take a lot of time, a lot of tears, a lot of money to get it back. Let's start the peacemakers.
A second principle he touched on was the lack of hope for young people. They've started a movement called Africa, My Home, My Future, and they've set up African youth conferences. They've got the first one coming up in Ghana.
Lack of hope of the young people. I didn't want to use the word migration as such, but that was behind it. That migration, particularly outside the continent, where some people think their life is going to be better. They're focused misguided because it's not. It is true for those who migrated earlier that they get better jobs and better life, but the atmosphere has changed globally. They are not welcome anymore. There are no open arms welcoming these migrants any longer. So they better know that. But in order not to migrate, they need hope. In this continent, they are ready to sacrifice if there is nothing else. So that's what we are talking about and saying the young people with a campaign which we have started, Africa, My Home, My Future, to say we know that Africa is not giving sufficient hope for you, but the answer is not to leave, because when the house is leaking, you don't move to a neighbor with a better house. So let us fix the roof of Africa, which is leaking, and it's the work of the young people. It is possible. Maybe a new breed of leaders coming up with revolutionary ideas. So that is what we are trying to move. And the third was gender-based violence, which is very much in center of our campaigns and work together as churches.
And another project that they have called Let Love Lead, and it's a plea to all young people to make a pledge to never engage in any gender-based violence.
Why doesn't female genital mutilation end? It's illegal in all countries. It is immoral. Why doesn't it end? What is the church doing about it? Are we upfront or not? But we have started a campaign to stop GBV in Africa, in the All Africa Conference of Churches, and we'll give it to the youth to really lead that. Because maybe it's very difficult to change these mentalities of these older people. But is it possible for us to breed or to create a new generation? So what they have done, they are developing a statement in every country among the young people of different churches, where the young people make a pledge. I give my pledge before God that I will not engage in GBV. And then the fourth, which I mentioned, was climate change, of course.
A big one in the global south. There's a feeling the impacts of the shifts in weather patterns. He talked about the low-hanging fruit, the looking after of our own backyard within an African context, the sorting out of rubbish disposal and recycling and keeping your own house in order. It's easy, it's cheap, having a bit of care and love for the area that you live in.
If people cannot care about the cleanliness of their own street, if people cannot even see the small environmental destruction in their neighborhood, what do you expect that they will care about the world, which they don't see.
And the last point he touched on was leadership. Hannah, strong leadership is needed. The AACC have actually started a new leadership course for the first time. It's over a year. It's bringing people from all over Africa, from all different denominations, and empowering them and giving them the skills they need to be a good leader.
I talked about leadership, the political level, but also in church level, where we are trying to develop a new breed of ecumenical leaders which are ethical. And we think mixing them from different countries, from different denominations, all of them are young.
As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, sisters, let's go down, let's go down, come on down. Oh, sisters, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the robe and crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, brothers, let's go down, come on down. Come on, brothers, let's go down, down in the river to pray. To pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, 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 fathers, let's go down, come on down. Oh, fathers, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the robe and crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, mothers, let's go down, don't you wanna go down? Oh, mothers, let's go down, down in the river to pray. I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, sinners, let's go down, come on down. Oh, sinners, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the robe and crown, good Lord, show me the way.
Thank you to Louise Whiteleg for those reports from Freetown. And once she's back from Sierra Leone, I hope that Angela Southern will join me on the programme to tell us more about her experiences as a delegate at the All Africa Conference of Churches. And as always, we'll finish now with a look at our notice board. This Tuesday, there's a coffee morning in Port Erin Methodist Church Hall, open between 10 and 11:30. Then on Thursday, the 30th, we've two things happening. Tea at 3 is a sumptuous afternoon tea at Balagueri Methodist Chapel in St Mark's, served in the beautiful sun lounge with glorious views, whatever the weather. And as the name suggests, it's served at 3 o'clock. And on Thursday night, there's another of the very popular Table on Thursday evenings in Port St Mary Methodist Church. This week, it's a fun bingo night with Bacon Baps at a cost of £7 per head. Call 483096 or email taboronthursday@gmail.com to book your place. The number again, 483096. Some TT news now, and firstly, news from Eddie Floyd of Fireblade Ministries, a Christian outreach that's been coming from Ireland to the TT Festival for 30 years, offering a helping hand, a listening ear, and the gospel message of God's love. This year, Fireblade Ministries have a new pitch. You'll find them in the grounds of St Andrew's United Reformed Church at the St Ninian's Crossroads on Glen Crutchery Road, just a short way from the start and finish line. They plan to be open there from Thursday the 30th until Friday the 7th of June. Fireblade Ministries' annual TT service will be as normal in the Mike Hillwood Centre next Sunday, June the 2nd, but at the earlier time of 8:40 a.m. due to racing taking place later in the day. Fireblade Ministries will also be sharing the morning service next Sunday at 11 a.m. in St Andrew's United Reformed Church. And with Fireblade Ministries celebrating 30 years of sharing God's love, they've organised a special celebration evening during TT, and they'd love you to join them on the evening of Wednesday, the 5th of June, at St Joseph's Church on Fenella Avenue in Williston, and the celebration will start there at 7 p.m. on the 5th of June. Now, some TT refreshments that I know about on offer this year. Bride Church Hall will be open next weekend from the 1st to the 3rd of June from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. each day, serving delicious sandwiches and cakes. Please note, cash payments only. The TT Cafe in Balaff Village Hall, just a short distance from Balaff Bridge down Station Road, will be open every day from Saturday the 1st to Friday the 7th of June from 9 a.m. to 4:30 p.m, serving all-day breakfasts, bacon or sausage baps, burgers, homemade soups, freshly made sandwiches, homemade cakes and hot and cold drinks. And they're very happy to take card payments. There's a TT Cafe in Selby Methodist Church at the crossroads opposite the Selby Glen Hotel. They'll be serving food on all the race days, starting 1 hour before the roads close. Sausage and bacon baps, plus lunchtime specials of chilli, lasagna, curry and cottage pie, with homemade desserts, cakes and hot drinks. And next Sunday, June the 2nd, there's a change of format at Selby Methodist Church this year. Instead of the traditional Mad Sunday service, there'll be a PowerPoint display of hymns, lessons and prayers displayed in Selby Methodist Church for 1 hour from 10:30 until 11:30, and you're invited to pop in for as long or as short a time as you wish. Reverend Brian will be present for anyone who would like personal prayer. Then the annual Mad Sunday barbecue in the grounds of Selby Methodist Church will start serving next Sunday at 11:30 a.m. And on June the 3rd, you're invited to Mad Monday TTTs at Dalby Schoolrooms, where there'll also be motorcycle memorabilia on sale. Dalby Schoolrooms will be open from 9 a.m. on Mad Monday, June the 3rd, serving bacon baps, cakes, coffee, soup and sandwiches and afternoon teas throughout the day until 4 p.m. No need to book, just come along and bring your friends. Come and sit in the garden in the sunshine or in the schoolrooms by the fire if it's wet, and enjoy home-baked food and skeet. And proceeds after costs go to Dalby Church Restoration Fund and the Manx charities chosen for this year. Forget Me Not working to help provide Ireland dementia care, and Hands of Hope working with refugees from Ukraine. And I'm afraid that's all that we have time for now. But I'll be back later in our virtual lounge tonight from 9 o'clock onwards. Virtual comfy chairs, virtual hot drinks and virtual snacks. Virtually everything you'll need to round off your day. But the easy listening music and your requests and dedications are very real. And I'd love you to join me if you can. And so, till whenever we meet again, this is Judith saying thank you for listening, and I wish you and those you love a blessed and safe week, and a very good morning.